Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, out of respect for God's Word, will you stand together with me as we read the Scripture? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13. The Scripture says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Look at it again, Proverbs 4 and verse 13. It says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Now, precious Father, I want to ask you to help me as I preach this morning. Thank you for the special music that we've had and for the wonderful time of singing. And, Lord, we thank you for the time of testimony. And, Lord, I pray that as we start this week, that you will impact our lives with your word. Change us, I pray. Help us not to come to this service as just another chapel and just another sermon and just another message, but I pray with a freshness and a vibrancy and a zeal and a passion we would come to hear your word and make up our minds now that we would obey it. Lord, we are depending upon you, and we thank you for what you will accomplish in these moments because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Several years ago, in the beginning of 1980, in fact, the month of May, many geologists were concerned about something that was taking place in the northwestern portion of the United States of America. It was in the state of Washington, the southeast part of Washington, and it was at Mount St. Helens. And while they were watching the geography change, they knew and could predict that an eruption was about to take place. Already some eruptions had begun, and yet this kind of eruption was a little bit more disconcerting than others because it was not going to be a vertical eruption, it was going to be a horizontal eruption. Many of the geologists gathered around and those who were part of the Park Service, and they began to watch their instruments as the bulge on the side of Mount St. Helens was growing day by day. Well, several warnings went out, and many of them were carried personally by the park rangers in that particular part of the state of Washington. They came to many different people, and they warned them to get out of their houses and to leave their homes. In fact, 57 people died in that eruption. All of them had been warned. All of them had been given ample time to get out of their homes. One of them had the name of Harry Truman, not the president, but a man by the same name, and he was 80-some years of age, and he would not leave. They said, "Mr. Truman, you have to leave your home. If you don't, you're going to die right here on this mountain." He said, "I'm not leaving." They said, "No, you don't understand. The problem is if you don't leave, you're going to be completely mowed over by all the debris from the eruption." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I was born on this mountain. I've lived here all my life, and I'm going to die on this mountain." Nothing they could say would dissuade him and persuade him to leave. And so, he did die. What was his problem? Was it that he couldn't hear very well? What was his problem? Was it that he was smarter than the park rangers and the geologists? What was his problem? It can be summed up in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. His problem was that he would not receive instruction. I believe this from the very depths of my soul, that very few truths that you learn in Bible college are as important as this truth, that you be teachable. In fact, it's not just a good idea when you're in Bible college to be teachable. It's not just a good idea when you're sitting in the classroom to be teachable. It's a good idea, in fact, it is right to be teachable, to receive instruction all the days of your life. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that we sometimes view certain words in the Bible as kind of hard to understand and therefore unimportant. We view words like knowledge. That's kind of a broad term, isn't it? Knowledge. Well, you know, everybody needs knowledge, and certainly we need to know more, but we don't really make it a passionate pursuit to get more knowledge. I don't think. I think many times we just kind of set that off as not a priority. We view the word instruction. Well, you know, instruction comes from all kinds of different sources, and we just don't view it as a top priority. We kind of think, well, you know, okay, I guess I got to sit through speed reading. Oh, okay, you know, I guess I need this class, or I suppose I need to read the instruction manual before I begin to put this machine together, before I begin to use this new technological gadget. I suppose I need it, but it's not a real big deal. I can learn it on my own. I can figure it out. I don't need to look at the map or stop for directions. But we kind of view instructions as kind of just not really that important. But in fact, according to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13, it is a matter of life or death. Whether you receive instruction or not, whether you posture yourself every day to receive instruction, to be a learner, to be teachable, is in fact a matter of life or death. And so in the next few moments, I'd like to preach to you on that very subject, a matter of life or death. And I want you to see from the Bible just exactly how important instruction is. Before we delve into Proverbs 4:13, I just want you to understand a Bible definition of the word instruction. It is translated several ways throughout the Old and New Testament. In Deuteronomy 11:2, in Isaiah 53:5, in Jeremiah 30 and verse 14, in Job 5:17, in Proverbs 3:11, in Isaiah 26:16, in Proverbs 13:24, the word instruction is also translated as chastening or chastisement or chasteneth. In Proverbs 7:22, in Proverbs 22:15, it is used as the word correction. In Job 12 and verse 18, it is translated as a bond, something like a yoke that would be placed on oxen, or even bonds and fetters that would be placed on captives. In Job 20 and verse 3, it is translated as a check, like we would use the word checks and balances. There is accountability. In Job 36:10, it is used to discipline. Over and over, it is also translated as it is in Proverbs 4:13. In Hosea 5 and verse 2, it is used as rebuker. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 8, it is used as doctrine. That is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, verses 5, 7, 8, and 11, it is also translated as chastening or chastisement. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it is used as the word nurture, as the fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what do you suppose we could use, or how do you suppose we could define the word instruction? I believe that instruction is any type of correction from God or man that will point an individual toward the righteous character of godliness. Again, instruction is any type of correction from God or man that will point an individual to the righteous character of godliness. And in Proverbs 4 and verse 13, there are three attitudes that we are to have, three responses that we are to give to instruction whenever it is near. Number one, we are to grab it. Will you say it with me? Grab it. Will you say it again? Grab it. We are to grab instruction, take close hold of it, take fast hold. Look at Proverbs 4:13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. We are to grasp this important truth whenever it comes and wherever it comes from. It is to be a priority, not secondary, not third, not last on our list. No matter where it comes from, no matter who is giving it, no matter how it is being given, we are to learn to grab and grasp instruction. Hey, this is found throughout the Bible, but I want to dwell particularly in the book of Proverbs. I want you just to listen to two aspects of grabbing it, grasping instruction. Either there we will be blessed by taking hold of it, or we will be cursed by not taking hold of it. Let me just give you the negatives. In Proverbs 15:10, it says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Jeremiah 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, in vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Jeremiah 5:3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive instruction or correction. Verse number 28 of Jeremiah 7 says, "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth." Zephaniah 3:2 says, "She obeyed not the voice," speaking of Israel. "She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." I believe all those could be equal. Not drawing close to God, not trusting in the Lord, all of those things can be thrown in the same basket along with not receiving instruction. Psalm 50:17 said, God says to Israel, "Seeing how thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind me." Hear what the Bible says in Proverbs 5 and verse 12. "The man who will not listen to his teachers, he goes the way of the strange woman," and he comes to a point in his life in verse 12 where he says, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." Proverbs 5:23, "The same man shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Proverbs 13 and verse 1, "A scorner heareth not rebuke." Proverbs 15:5, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction." Proverbs 13:1, the Bible says 13:18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you, your goal in life is to be seated on the side of an exit somewhere with a cardboard sign with tattered clothes, and on your sign it says, "We'll work for food"? How many of you are planning to support your ministry that way? We know the Bible says if you don't receive instruction, that's exactly where you're headed. That's their problem. It's not that they don't have a job. It's not that they've come to the bottom of life's barrel. It's that they will not or have not sometime in their life received instruction. You see, the Scripture is clear. There are plenty of negative consequences if we do not daily, moment by moment, regularly posture ourselves to receive it. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 22, it says, "The instruction of fools is folly." Hey, I would venture to say that here at Ambassador Baptist College, there are certain professors and certain teachers, maybe certain on the faculty and staff, that have tried to help some in the student body, and they've gotten to a point where they're literally throwing up their hands saying, "Hey, it's no use. Anything I tell them, they won't listen. Why would I even bother to tell them to do something again?" Why? Because the instruction of fools is folly. In the book of Proverbs 15 and verse 32 it says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul." Proverbs chapter Jeremiah 32 and 33 again, speaking of Israel, says, "They have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction." Jeremiah 32 or 35 and verse 13, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken unto my words, saith the Lord?" So the question to every young person, the question to every faculty and staff member, the question to every visitor here at Ambassador Baptist College this morning is this: are you going to posture yourself to receive instruction on a daily basis? Are you going to shun and loathe and flee the attitude that says, "Oh, I know it all. Oh, you don't have to tell me. Oh, I've got all the answers. Well, I've got this area figured out," when you know full well you do not? Or are you going to run to that attitude that says, I'm going to despise instruction? There are negative consequences if you do not receive instruction. But you know there are also some positive things, some blessings that will result if you do receive instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 says, "The purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity." In Proverbs 1, 7, 8, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 1, 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother." Look at Proverbs 4 and verse 1. It says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Proverbs 8:10 says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33, "Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not." The Scripture is clear. If you seek after instruction, if you posture yourself daily, moment by moment, to receive it, God's going to bless you immeasurably. Now, I want to ask you a question. I need you to be extremely honest with me right now. Don't lie. How many of you, when the McDonald's Monopoly game rolls around, how many of you supersize it? Come on. Oh, now I know that's not true. But let me ask a question again. You be honest. How many of you during the McDonald's Monopoly game, come on, Miss Bradney, how many of you supersize it? Huh? Okay, all right, that's what I thought. Now, I don't know, it must be that I inherited it from my mom, because mom and I are always trying to fill out the board games. And we're looking for Boardwalk, and if she has Boardwalk, then I'm looking for Park Place, and vice versa. We're hoping that someday our ship will come in. And we might even share a little bit if it does. But let me say, you know, there is something more valuable than winning the Monopoly game at McDonald's. You know what it is? Instruction. That's a game piece you can't do without. In fact, if you have it, God Almighty will honor your life. No matter what age you are to seek it. Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction." Proverbs 13:18, "He that regardeth reproof shall be honored." Proverbs 15:5, "He that regardeth reproof is prudent." Proverbs 15:32, He that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Proverbs 24:32, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." Number one, we're to grab it. Several years ago when I was in college, I was home on a break, and I went over to visit a friend of mine. We stayed up late, and we just had a good time, watched a little bit of television, told all the stories from college life, and I spent the night there, and the next day, sometime later, I went back home. I was telling my mom about all that was going on in his life, this friend of mine's, and all that was going on in my life, and all the college stories that we had shared, and right smack dab in the middle of me telling my mom all that had transpired the night before, she said, "What did you learn?" I wrinkled my nose and furrowed my brow and scrunched my eyes. I thought, what kind of a dumb question is that? What did I learn? I'm on break. I'm not learning right now. I went over to my friend's house and enjoyed a good time. We had hot dogs and Doritos and pizza and pop. Learn what? But I'll tell you, I never forgot that. You know what my mom was teaching me? In every area of life, in every day, in every setting, I am to be a learner, and so are you. We're to grab instruction, grasp it. We started at the mountain. I want to go to the river. I want us just to imagine that we're all at the river. We'll go to the Gallatin Gateway River. I'm going to be there this summer, Lord willing. Going to go down the river in the Senior High Command Camp. I'm looking forward to it. So we're going down the Gallatin Gateway just south of Bozeman, Montana, a little ways, and we're all right now on the bank, and we all are putting helmets on, and we're all putting life jackets on, and the boats are getting there. 8 men, maybe 9 men, and 9 people in a boat, and we're sitting there. And now we're to listen to the guide and their specific instructions, do exactly what they tell us to do. When they say dig, you need to grab the top of your paddle and the bottom, and you need to dig and paddle as fast and as furiously as you can. When they say rest, you better rest, because there's going to be some times when you're going to need that rest. Now, you've got to put your helmet on, and you've got to put your life jacket on. Let's say we all get in the boat, and you are sitting next to me, and you get in the boat, and you say, "I don't like this life jacket. I'm going to sit on it. So you take it off. And I said, wait. You can't sit on it. The guide said you're supposed to keep it on and zipped up. Oh, it just doesn't go with my color, you know. And it just is scratchy and uncomfortable. I'm going to say, hey, I'm a good swimmer. You don't need to worry about me. I'm all right. So, all right, suit yourself. And we get in the river and we start going, and all of a sudden the guide says, dig! And all those on the left, dig! And all those on the right, dig! He says, rest, relax. And we kind of float and we're looking up at the fine rocks and cracks and crevices and the beautiful scenery and the mountains of Montana. It's just beautiful. And all of a sudden he says, dig on the right! And everybody on the right's digging as fast and as furiously as they can. And then he comes to a place where we rest a little bit more. And all of a sudden, he screams, dig on the left! And everybody on the left is digging with a passion, but not enough. He's trying to steer, but he doesn't quite get the boat turned in time. And all of a sudden, that lifeboat, or that raft, goes up on a rock. You suppose the river stops for that lifeboat? Now, all of a sudden, now the river is filling in the back of the lifeboat. And pretty soon, within a matter of seconds, everybody in it is in the brink. And you thought you were going fast in the boat. I mean, you haven't seen fast until you're out of a boat. And you were just going to sit on your life jacket, remember? It didn't really quite go with your color, you know? It was kind of a little uncomfortable. And you're just, now you're bumping up against a log and down in the current and up again it spits you. And down again and up. Boy, it would be nice to have that life jacket now, wouldn't it? All of a sudden you're gaping for air. I mean, you're an excellent swimmer. You'd swim 200 laps without even thinking it in high school, but now you're fighting a current and logs are hitting you on the way down, and here it is, there's the life preserver, it's coming, quickly, what are you going to do? Say, oh, you know, it doesn't really match my color. No, you're going to get, with frantic exhaustion, grab hold of it, right? That's what you need to do with instruction, with a passion. No matter where you are in life, no matter where God places you, no matter what setting you're in, you need to be someone who is teachable. I want to ask, is that your testimony here? Is that your testimony in the classroom? Is that your testimony in the dorm room? Hey, when an RA or an ARA has to rebuke you, hey, when a friend who out of love speaks the truth to you, do you receive it? How you receive it or how you reject it now more than likely will be how you receive it and how you reject it 10 years from now. Number one, we're to grab it. Say it. Grab it. Say it again. Grab it. Number two, we're to grip it. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Grip it. Will you say that? Grip it. Say it again. Grip it. We're to grip instruction. Whenever it comes by, not only are we to grab it, we're to hold tightly to it. We're to consider it valuable and precious, lest somehow it is released from our grip. This would be like grabbing hold of a treasure and guarding it very tightly. This is like grabbing hold of a $100 bill. Boy, that would be precious, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be just something if you had that in your box? You wouldn't just, you wouldn't just look at your other mail or read some note from the dean of students' office if you saw a $100 bill in your box fall on the ground. Oh, no, man, you'd be grabbing that, putting it in your pocket and hope that your roommate didn't pickpocket you, right? You grip it, you consider it very precious. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. And he that hateth reproof is brutish. Proverbs 23:12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Hey, you know, when I go and I shake a man's hand, last week I was in a church and there was a young man in that church. Every night it gave me a royal, manly handshake. I appreciate that. I mean, he looked me right in the eye. He was probably 17 or 18. He grabbed my hand and gripped it hard. Boy, I appreciate that. When I grip a man's hand, I want to get that kind of a handshake. Not this limp-wristed kind of panty waist kind of thing. No, sir, I'm not interested in that. Now, ladies, if I shake your hand and it's a strong handshake, look me right in the eye, you know, That makes me a little nervous, okay? Just to let you know. You know, I think a lady should be feminine and petite and nice and soft, and a man should be hard and rough and made out of dirt and snails and puppy dog tails. You know, that's just kind of the way I think, and I believe that's Bible. I believe it could be substantiated from Scripture. But the fact is that we need to be working on our grip. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road, I'll get one of these little hand grip things, and I'll just work it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I just want to work on my grip. I want to make sure that I've still got it. I want to make sure that when I wrestled, we've got some folks here from Granite City Baptist Church. They have a national wrestling tournament every year. Well, when I wrestled in high school, one of the most important parts of a wrestler is his grip. He's got to be able to get in to that opponent, and he's got to be able to just, sometimes you grip just to intimidate, just to show him you've still got it, and you're going to take him to the mat and put his shoulders there and pin him or break his neck in the process. You just want him to know that. So the fact is that we need to be working on our grip, and we need to be working on gripping instruction. You see, it's not just a matter to receive it. That's not just the most important part. We're to love it. You know, if you love it, you will receive it. If you love to learn, you will study. You won't dry up 5 years into the ministry after you've been in one place and don't have any more sermons left, have to move on to the next. You'll love it. You'll love instruction, and you'll love to learn, and you'll see it. I appreciate what I just read in a periodical some time ago. A preacher's old, 70, 80 years old. He said when he first got called to preach, I mean, he'd go out in the lawn and he'd see a sermon, and he'd go to the store and he'd see a sermon. You know what he was doing? He was postured. He was tender. He was sensitive. He was loving instruction at that point in his life. And we never need to reach a point where we don't love it. The fact is, we're to grip it on a regular basis. Why? Because the world, the flesh, and the devil would have you relax your grip. Life's pressure would have you relax your grip. Some time ago, I was in a church. I was standing in the back. I was shaking people's hands as they walked out the door. And there was a little girl. She was probably 2 or 3 years old. And she had a sucker that she must have gotten from Sunday school or junior church. And I leaned down and I said, "Hey, sweetheart, how are you doing?" She kind of looked at me like I was some stranger. And I said, "Oh, that sucker looks good. Can I have a lick?" Oh, you should have seen the look she gave me then. She grabbed that sucker. She gripped it tightly. She pulled it to herself and looked at me saying with her eyes, "You better not even come close to my sucker." That's the attitude we need to have about instruction. Let me just give you a few illustrations. You know, when I was in college, I first started in 1991, and we didn't have a scheduled time to practice for ensemble then. It was an agreement, a verbal agreement, between Brother Scoble and the ensemble that we would be there every Tuesday, and eventually it was every Tuesday and Thursday at 5:30, sometimes 5:25, sometimes 5:24. But anyway, we would be there, and we would start. And so supper usually was 5, it was 4:30 to about 5:30, somewhere around there. And I came home from work one night, and I'd heard about this revival meeting, and I thought, "Boy, I'm going to go to that. I'm going to go to that." So I went and I sat down next to Brother Scoble, Dr. Scoble's place there in the cafeteria, and I said, "Hey, Dr. Scoble, I'm not going to be able to make it to ensemble tonight." I don't know, this was probably right before Thanksgiving. I said, "I'm not going to be able to make it to ensemble tonight. I'm going off to this revival meeting." That was the wrong thing to say. He looked at me and he proceeded to skin me alive. He said, "What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You gave your word and a verbal agreement that you'd be here every Tuesday and every Thursday at 5:30, and then you're going to go off to some revival meeting, gallivanting all around the country, not keeping your word and not keeping your commitments. What kind of low-life piece of trash do you think you are?" Now, he probably used other words that I'm not going to use this morning, but I'm telling you, he proceeded to lay me low. And then at the end, he said, "Do whatever you want to." I wasn't quite sure how to take that. I walked out with probably a little indigestion from supper, and I walked down, I could still see it. I walked down the back right part of Old Ambassador Campus, and I said, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me?" I don't think I'd ever had that kind of a bombshell dropped in my life. Well, needless to say, I showed up at ensemble practice that night. And I thank Brother Scovel and have thanked him dozens of times since then for that rebuke. We live in such a wimpy, flake-like society. You know, the rebuke, the instruction, isn't always going to come in a nice, neatly wrapped package handed you on a silver platter. Sometimes it's going to come with dragon-like fire. Sometimes it's going to come suddenly. But it doesn't matter how it comes. It doesn't matter who it comes from. It doesn't matter when it comes. If you're the right kind of person, you'll say, "Thank you, Lord, for this instruction." Number one, we're to grasp it. Number two, we're to grip it. Let me say, if I had not received instruction at that moment, I would not be here today. God would not have used me the way He has to His credit over the last 9 years. I am amazed at the turning point that brought in my life. I want you to look at Proverbs 4:13. It says, "Take fast hold of instruction." That means we're to grab it or grasp it. Number two, it says, "Let her not go." That means we're to grip it. Number three, it says, "Keep her, for she is thy life." Number three, we're to guard it. Will you say it? Guard it. Say it again. Guard it. We're to guard it. It is to be considered valuable and precious and important. Guard it. Keep her. That's the idea behind the word keep. It means garrison. It means protect. It means watch over. It means guard. It means protect. It means secure. Guard instruction. Why? Because the world, the flesh, and the devil, and even just ideas from other sources will have you and I think that it's not so valuable, that it's not that valuable of a commodity. Hey, the world, the flesh, and the devil would have you think that the classes that you're facing now and soon you're going to be facing finals, that really they're not that big of a deal, that you don't need speed reading or you don't need some other class. Let me tell you, Brother Surrett and Brother Childs do not go in the administrative building and put on red or black hoods and sit around in a circle and have some kind of a weird ceremony to figure out how they can make your lives most miserable. That's not what they think of when they prepare the class schedule. In fact, every class here is going to be useful to you in the ministry. I took Greek my first year in college. And I got around the wrong crowd, Brother Camp. I'm not going to say that. Brother Camp and I were in class together, weren't we? And you can see where he is today and where I am today. So you want to follow his path. But anyway, I got around the wrong crowd, and you know, Brother Camp, your daughter was in that class too. And you know, if I remember right, she just skunked all of us. But anyhow, I got around two other guys. We just didn't think, teacher's boring, and we didn't think it was all that important, and we'd kind of play around with studying, and it just wasn't that significant. And you know what? I had a grade that went from an A to a B to a C. We'll just stop there. Now, what was the problem? I was listening to voices that said, "Hey, this isn't important," so I didn't deem it important, so I didn't do my best. To my fault. When I went into the graduate level, my grade went from a D to a C to a B to an A. What was the difference? In one sense, I was around those who were discouraging the instruction. In the other sense, I was around those who were encouraging it. In one sense, it was hurtful. In the other sense, it was helpful. In the one sense, I was not guarding instruction. In the other sense, I was. Now, I want to ask, are you going to go through 4 years at Ambassador Baptist College and not be teachable? See, it's not just about Greek class. That really is not the point. It's about life. It's about character. It's about putting your shoulder to the grindstone. It's about learning and being all that God would have you be. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:17, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction." Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes thee to err from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 23:23. You want an investment? Buy the truth. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Someone said an unteachable student is a wasted desk. And an unteachable teacher is a wasted classroom. Every one of us, no matter where we are in life, need to be teachable and need to be learning from the words of Almighty God. This preacher, is it all that important? Oh, it's vitally important. We started at the mountain, we went to the river. I want us to go to the ocean now, the Pacific Ocean. Not on the west coast of the United States, but on the southeast coast of Papua New Guinea. I was there in the year 2000. And while I was there, a very sad story was told me by some preachers in Port Moresby, the capital city. They told about a young man who had been saved under the influence of missionaries there in Papua New Guinea. He'd come to the States. He'd received a Bible college education and went back to Papua New Guinea probably with more education than most preachers in all of the nation. He had 6, 7, 8 years. You know, he began to sit in the pew and he began to say, I know more than these preachers. He was going to help teach them theology and Bible truths. But his attitude was one of arrogance and haughtiness. I know more than these preachers. What do they have to teach me? I know more than them. Pretty soon he began to skip church. One service, then two, then all three during the week. Hey, then he was completely out of it altogether. It was a lady in one of their churches that married him against the advice of the pastor. They had a child. They were on a church picnic one day. They were all going to get in their boats, their canoes, and they were going to ride out and row out to a little island just off the coast of Port Moresby. They call it the Bedstand Island. And as they were getting ready, he threw off his shirt and he was going to dive into the ocean and swim. He said, I'll swim and I'll meet you over there. Several of the men immediately gathered around. They said, that wouldn't be a good idea right now. You know, if you do this, there's a strong riptide. We can see it from here. We wouldn't suggest it. He said, no, I can handle it. It'll be all right. They said, no, you don't. You can't handle it. The riptide is much stronger than you and it will suck you out and you'll never be seen again. No, he says, I can handle it. With that, he dove into the water. And all the church members that were there and his wife and his little baby watched as, in fact, the riptide did scrape him out from, suck him out from that water and that current and spit him somewhere that only God knows. Sad, isn't it? What was his problem? Was his problem that he couldn't hear? Was his problem that he had more education than everybody else? What was his problem? His problem was that he would not receive instruction. In fact, it is a matter of life or death.